Support for WVIK comes from Kathleen Collins at the Dragonfly in Bettendorf. Using both conventional and alternative counseling methods for empowerment to help create change for individuals and couples. More information is at KathleenCollinsCounseling.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Heartland Politics Show and podcast, which is aired on and distributed by WVIK Quad Cities NPR. WVIK is the flagship public radio station in the Quad Cities region of northwestern Illinois and eastern Iowa. This is your host, Robin Johnson, and some of you out there in our listening audience today may not recognize the name of my guest today, but he had a major impact on the state of Illinois during the period when Republicans were a dominant force in politics and government. He had a front row seat during an era when politics was every bit as hard fought as today, but the two parties came together during the governing process to work together, compromise, can you believe it, for the betterment of the state. Sounds good, doesn't it? We're going to look back at that era a little bit, but also going to explore maybe what can be done to bring some of that back, which I think is what most people want. His name is Carter Hendren, and he served as one of the top political people in the state. If there's a Mount Rushmore of Republican political operatives in our state's history, this guy would be on it. And I'm just very pleased to have him as a guest today. Carter, thank you so much for being on.
Yeah, thank you, Robin.
Well, let's get started. We met, I'll share with our listeners, just about a month ago and got to know each other a little bit. But just share your how you got into politics at the beginning of your career.
I came to Springfield on a graduate fellowship program through the University of Illinois and what was then Sangamon State University. I was selected to serve on the Republican Senate staff. That would be in the fall of 1974. So I'm pretty much a dinosaur. But that's how I started. Now, I think with many people involved in politics, my family was involved, particularly my father. And I walked precincts when I was 8 years old for friends. Was a different world back then.
Yeah. Now, what part of the state did you come from?
I came from deep southern and eastern Illinois, a little county called Edwards County. I think it's the fourth smallest county in the state, consolidated unit district number one, gives you a little sense of its size. But it's a rural farming, grain farm and livestock farming community. So that's my background.
So you got your start in the Illinois Senate Republican staff. What was your first campaign? And share some recollections of that, if you would.
My first campaign that was of significance was the 1976 Secretary of State race. My boss at that time was Bill Harris. I'd been hired as a full-time employee on the Senate staff and worked the Appropriations Committee. Bill Harris decided to run for Secretary of State. He ran against one Alan Dixon. I'm sure people have heard of Alan.
Oh, yeah. That's my former boss.
Oh, I know. And I think that kind of highlights some of the things we want to talk about today. They were good friends. They were colleagues as members of the legislature. They were good friends. They communicated frequently. They wished no ill to one another. They campaigned vigorously and they campaigned hard. Senator Dixon won that race handily. And I can say, it's a good year. He's a great candidate. We had no money, but at the same time, he won the race. I stayed on with the Senate after that And Dave Shapiro from Amboy, Illinois, became the Republican leader. And he asked me to be his assistant, or what then was called deputy chief of staff. I think I was 24, 25 at the time. And it was that was a great thing for me career-wise. But that also meant that I would be running the Senate Campaign Committee, which is the committee that organizes and manages state Senate races that are deemed to be competitive. And that's a statewide function. I'm a country boy. I haven't been to Chicago other than to be with Senator Harris and the suburbs. But it was a great experience. The first campaign with Senator Harris really complemented the running the Senate Campaign Committee. So that was my major first venture into partisan politics. All the time I was, when we weren't campaigning, I was just a member of the Senate Republican staff, and mm-hmm. I worked on state issues.
That's for our listeners. That still takes place, where people on staffs in Springfield will work with the caucus of whoever they're working with on Democratic House, Republican Senate, whatever. And then during campaign season, they take a leave of absence and go to work the campaign cycle, and then they come back. So that's how it's traditionally worked. Yeah. I'm curious. I've just got to ask. I mean, how were campaigns? We can get into a little of the differences later, but when you first started doing state Senate races, Carter, what were the major elements of the campaign that you did that were important to victory?
Our functionally, we would put a manager in a race with the instructions to the candidate that was our guy, and he would be listening to us. That sometimes was welcomed openly and sometimes not. The main function was to raise money for our candidates, and then to try to put some kind of a messaging system or an organization together, and ideally both. But the money from now to back then, the biggest single difference to me is the money. It is just insane now. A little obnoxious, frankly, is a better description. I remember, since we're kind of in the Rock Island area, a campaign in 1982 we did against Senator Don Wooten. He was an incumbent. Nice guy. I mean, I like Don. He was a nice guy. We thought he was vulnerable. We recruited a local broadcaster named Thomas, and we decided to launch a campaign. Nobody thought we had a chance. My boss actually told me once, he said, if you're not right here, this could cost me some votes in the caucus. And I said, I think I'm right, but you can't promise anything in this world like that. Yeah. But we had a poll that showed our guy behind 52 points. That's a kind of a big hill to climb. We ended up winning that race. And I think it was done. I went to the campaign committee, and we had a board like we should have. And they had input on the decision making. And I asked for $50,000 for media. And I thought they were all going to fall off of their chairs. Now you can do that for a weekend, maybe a day in certain cases. So, but the money has changed dramatically. And the style of campaigns, much more technologically savvy. I'm not sure they're better for the system, but they're very high tech. You got all kinds of social media now. Back then we did direct mail, radio, and TV. And we put volunteers to the extent we could in key precincts to go door to door. In many cases, in parts of the state, we couldn't even identify partisanship at the door. We just knocked on doors blindly and hoped we got lucky every now and then. Yeah. But it's really a different world now.
A lot's changed. You were there for a period when Republicans dominated the governor's office. I remember Dan Walker was the last Democrat to win in 72, and then starting in 76 up through Blagojevich winning in 2002, the Republicans controlled the governor's office all those years. And people who tell me now, they say, Republicans are never going to win in Illinois again. I just say, hey, I remember Democrats feeling the same way. Things change. What was it, Carter? Was there something that that was it the quality of the candidates, more money raised? What was it about that era that allowed the Republicans to dominate the most important office for state government?
I think it was the quality of our candidates. I think in particular with Governor Thompson, he was the first one. He was the leader. He was able to keep all factions at least respectful of one another. Remember, Governor Thompson had, you know, very strong Republican support, but he also had support downstate, suburban, in the city. He had minority block support. He had union support. He had educator support. Good law enforcement guy, obviously, as a United States attorney. And I think he gave us the foundation to build upon. And then to his credit, I'm a big supporter of Governor Thompson. I think he's one of our best, if not our best, although I reserve that for Governor Ogilvie. But he developed really good people who became directors of agencies or were on his staff. Witness, I can think of two real quick. One is Jim Edgar, who was his director of legislative affairs and then was appointed Secretary of State and then was elected Secretary of State and subsequently governor. In addition, he had Ty Fainter, who was one of his legal people, worked with him in the U.S. Attorney's Office. He was Attorney General. So he developed a real firm network out there. And I think that gave good people confidence to come into state government.
I think for our listeners too, especially younger listeners, I mean, during that time, the parties had very diverse ideological factions. Jim Thompson you wouldn't want to call him a conservative. He was more of a moderate, and he had very liberal, progressive positions on some issues. But yet there were, in the Democratic Party, there were Democrats in the legislature from downstate Illinois, very conservative. Some were pro-life. That seems to be one of the biggest changes too, and that the parties have all aligned ideologically.
Yeah, there's a wall out there between on communication between the two, and we've talked in the past. Some people on this won't even recognize the terminology. But in '82, we the state via a constitutional amendment abolished cumulative voting. Now, cumulative voting was an extraordinarily complicated thing. I don't believe it diminished the vote turnout or anything like that. What it did do is you elected three state representatives from each district, and two would be of one party and one would be of another party. The odd thing about cumulative voting was I could give one candidate all three of my votes. But the effect of that, although some people thought it, you know, Pat Quinn in particular thought it was a terrible thing, the effect of that was to guarantee minority representation. So that means in certain areas downstate that are or suburban area in those days, all Republican, you had to have Democrat members to represent their constituents. One very well-known member like that was Bill Redmond, who became Speaker of the House, and he's from DuPage County. Now, DuPage County then was in the top three or four nationally in terms of political strength by county in the nation. For Republicans, when we went to a caucus, we had members of the minority communities from the north, south, east, and west parts of the city that gave input on Chicago's problems. Whether the balance of people agreed with them or not, they had input, so they got recognition. The other thing that cumulative voting did, in my opinion, was it kind of forced the two parties to be honest with one another, because they had members in both sides. They couldn't just go out and castigate one person because they voted a certain way, because there's a very, very strong probability that members of their own party had voted the same way. So there was a tempering effect. I miss cumulative voting, but I would not like to explain how you would ever get it back. I just don't think that's going to happen. But it did cause for far more dialogue between the elected members, far, far less hostility. And so it was a better system in that regard.
You're listening to Heartland Politics on WVIK, Quad Cities NPR. I'm your host, Robin Johnson, and my guest today is Carter Hendren, who served with the Illinois Senate Republican Committee for a number of years, both in state government and as a political operative, one of the best political operatives the Republican Party's had, in my opinion, in the last 50 years, if not ever. A real gentleman who I've just met, and we're talking a little bit, a little nostalgia here, going back. We're gonna come to now in a little bit, but I just talking about, you know, this hyper-partisanship in Illinois, and Carter just mentioned the cumulative voting process, which was eliminated in 1982. And I tend to agree. A lot of people talk about redistricting reform, and the Supreme Court's spoken. I don't know that that's ever going to change. But a good reform would be maybe bringing that back this, where downstate you would have Democratic representation, and Chicago you'd have Republican representation. But, you know, when we first met, Carter, about a month ago, we were talking about elections that really changed the political face of Illinois, and you mentioned 1982 with that vote to bring our current system in. Were there other elections that you felt changed the dynamics of the state to make it shift from being more competitive to now more Democratic?
I think the 04 election with Blagojevich, they swept the House and the Senate in 02. Governor Blagojevich won handily in 04. So they dominated all aspects of government. I think that really changed a lot of things. There was a whole different mindset going on at that point. The old honor system of the handshake is your word and it's your bond. That's in the back. That's in the rearview mirror nowadays. Unfortunately, but I would say that the 04 election, the 82 election were monumental in change. I would also argue that the 90 gubernatorial elections, Governor Edgar beat Attorney General Hardigan. That was a close race, but it was, I believe it was the last really honest election in Illinois where you had two well-known political entities going head-to-head at each other. It was far more respectful of each other and of the office than current campaigns. That to me, and I ran the Edgar campaign that year, but to me that allowed the Republicans to prevail on reapportionment. And that was big because we control the Senate then for 10 years, but I will tell you, I did that map. I will tell you, or I was a part of doing that map. Those districts were extremely competitive. Yeah. We had two races that went to recounts in 1 year. We had to defeat five incumbents in 1991 or 92 to win the majority. So it was a competitive map. Now, the House, on the other hand, they had the same map, different House districts embedded within the same boundaries. They also had Mike Madigan running the House operation. And Madigan won 4 out of 5, and we won 5 out of 5. So I think that all started with the 90 campaign. And what you had during the 90s was you had a moderate governor in Jim Edgar, and you had a legislature divided between Mike Madigan, an ardent Democrat political person, Democratic Party chairman, and in my mind, a good person. And then you had my old boss, Pate Phillip from DuPage County, an absolute stand tall Republican until hell is green, right? I mean, that's just the way he was. But those two guys, and I mean, I can attest to this, they talked all the time during session about what the outcome could be or should be. And Madigan would come to our office, or we would go to their office, usually early in the morning or late in the evening, and go over agendas, what bills are going to be called, those kinds of things. What position are you going to take on particular, like mass transit, public funding for education, whatever that may be. And I've heard both the speaker and Senate President Phillip say, look, we can't agree on this. Let's just move on. And when you moved on, you say, if we can get back to it, we'll come back to it. If not, we're going to do our business and go home. Those were fascinating meetings to be in because they were honest with one another. They disagreed fundamentally on virtually everything, but they wanted the process to work. They respected the institution of the legislative process. And I think Governor Edgar kind of superimposed over that a will to get along because he was dealing with a Democrat House usually and a Republican Senate. And he's a moderate. So, I mean, he tried to make everybody at least communicate whether or not they always agree. That's not the job of government to get everybody to agree, but it is the job of government to work together, in my judgment. So I would say those are the big elections.
I would add too, Carter's been discussing and this era of Republican dominance of the governor's office. Correct me if I'm wrong, but in all those 18 years when the Republicans controlled the governor's office, only two did they control also both houses of the legislature. So they had you had Democratic control of at least one house of the legislature where it forced compromise.
Yeah.
And and it can happen. I mean, I have people say now that are new to politics and they see what's going on in Springfield, Washington. It's like, you explain to them that it can happen if people get in the room and, as you said, respect the institution. And I think that's what most people want out of our government.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I wanted to just ask what caused the state to change from being more middle of the road, leaning right, I would say, to more Democratic now. I mean, the suburbs when I was growing up politically were Republican. Chicago was Democratic. Downstate was fairly competitive, but now it's changed. What forces led to the change that is downstate's more Republican, the suburbs have trended more Democratic?
There's probably 1,000 reasons, but I think I'll probably make some real enemies here with this, but from the Republican standpoint, we had poor candidates and they were single issue type candidates. Had their own kind of base. They developed enough strength out there that they started primarying incumbents who were a little more moderate. And then it became, from a Republican point of view, it became difficult to run as a moderate because you couldn't win a primary. So why would I run if I can't win, right? I think the Democrats had a similar problem in that as the political party infrastructure began to diminish, i.e. patronage and those kinds of things that, see, I understand. I'm a believer in patronage. I think you got better public service when those people were held accountable at their local level. Now, that's not to mean you should hire unqualified people. That's not at all what I'm saying. But when that structure began to diminish, then a lot of the members that were, you know, union guys is what we call them. They were UAW. They were iron workers, whatever. Their clout began to diminish. They were also primaried from many more progressive, I think that's the word used, don't agree with that word, but more progressive people who were more liberal, and they were able to mobilize particularly in the city, in certain areas of the city, and a primary win was a general election win in all for all practical purposes. So I think both parties were invaded, in my word, invaded by extremists. My word again, I don't know, I'm probably making people mad, but extremists from both sides. And look what happened to the Republicans 4 years ago in the last gubernatorial. I mean, Darren Bailey, he's from my general area of the state. That wasn't a contest from any, I mean, I knew he was going to do well down there, but he didn't do well in the suburbs, just did not do well in the suburbs, didn't do well in the metropolitan areas, didn't do well on college campus areas. So you've got to be able to appeal out there. And I think that's what's happened with Republicans. Now the Democrats, they have, they got all the money. I mean, I said earlier that the biggest change in politics I've seen is the obnoxious amount of money spent on these races. But now they really hold a corner on that. And it's not just that the governor, current governor, is extremely wealthy, good for him, but it's that they now have all of the interest groups, all of the business, labor, education associations that give them money. That money can only go so far. So our guys are kind of left without the capacity to fight back, kind of fighting with one hand behind their back. But you beat that with better candidates. That's my opinion. You can't complain about it. You beat it with better candidates. Go find them and win a few primaries. I think there's a pardon me. There's a congressman in Illinois, Budinsky, a Democrat. She hails out of Springfield. Her district runs from Danville down to the Metro East. It's kind of a competitive district, but it's really not. It's more of a Democrat-leaning district. I had the opportunity to have lunch with her about a month or so ago, and I think she honestly is trying to get groups of people together to work on common issues in a bipartisan manner. And what we need to do is to get, 75 Republicans in the Congress and 75 Democrats in the Congress to do that on a multitude of issues. And I think you'll start seeing the change. We used to encourage, again, old times, we encourage our members to go have dinner with the Democrats. Get to know them. Go to their districts. If you live in a rural area, then go to a city district. See what it's like every day up there. If you live in the city district, go to a suburban district or go down a rural district. There are members that are practicing that now. And that's, I know for a fact, they say that it's really helped them kind of understand the problems and the directions, I guess, that other districts have. So there's a lot of things that could happen. We'll see if they do.
Well, that's a great idea. I got time for just one more quick question. I only have like 30 seconds here. I apologize if it's unfair to ask. But if you could change one thing in Illinois government politics to make sure it's more competitive and get rid of the corruption that seems endemic in it, what would it be?
I think the common answer would be term limits. I don't agree with that. I think you don't fix anything until you make a legitimate effort to fix the remapping process, the reapportionment process. And while you cannot take politics out of that process, you can take elected legislators out of that process so they don't draw a district for themselves. They don't have a computer draw their district. There have been proposals in the General Assembly that made efforts to do that. And obviously the political winds that were would not allow those things to pass. But I think that's where you start. Term limits don't mean anything if you have a dominance of who's in the seat. You don't change anything.
Carter Hendren's been my guest today on Heartland Politics. Carter is a longtime Republican political operative with the state Senate. Also worked in state government. He was there when Republicans were dominant. And really thank you, Carter, for taking the time to appear today and providing some wise comments on what we can do to get Illinois government back in shape.
You've been listening to Heartland Politics with Robin Johnson, a presentation of WVIK, Quad Cities, NPR. You can follow Heartland Politics at wvik.org or wherever you subscribe to podcasts.